Good morning. Great to be here with you this morning, and I want us to look at Matthew chapter 9. We turn straight there, Matthew chapter 9. And the end of that chapter. Beginning in verse 35, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to the end. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." They call it compassion fatigue syndrome. It is the fatigue, it is the burnout, it is the even depression that those who are involved in caregiving often experience over the course of time. Compassion fatigue syndrome. The giving and exercising of compassion in medical ministries, in caring for the aged and the dying, and in other areas as well. That compassion takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort, and it takes a lot out of a person. The pastoral ministry and ministries in the church and caring for God's people also carry this type of fatigue. Because to constantly be giving and to constantly be caring and to constantly be bearing one another's burdens and to constantly be seeking to be used of God in people's lives, showing that compassion and the intensity of emotion that is involved in that can bring about weariness and fatigue. We always used to call it burnout. Well, what we need, you see, what we need is someone who is not subject to fatigue. What we need is someone who can minister compassion, who is not going to burn out, who has unlimited resources of compassion, who is able to give and to give and to give from an infinite supply of grace and of mercy and of compassion. And of course, that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this passage, Matthew gives a summary after a whole series from the beginning of chapter 8, a whole series of one miracle after the other, of one expression and act of powerful compassion after the other. He summarizes the whole thing and he puts it in these words in verse 36, that he had compassion for them. Jesus's compassion. Now, we normally would read a passage like this, and our tendency is to see this harvest is plentiful and we must have laborers in the harvest, and we are the ones who must go out, as he sends the apostles out in chapter 10. We must go out and proclaim the gospel, and we must go out and show this compassion, and we must go out and reap this harvest. And that's very true. However, before we get to that, we must know ourselves what it is to receive compassion from Christ. We must ourselves be drawing upon His compassion, because the pains and the needs and the problems are not just out there where we go to minister. pains and problems and difficulties are also in here, in our own lives. And as we share in the sufferings of others, in ministering to them. And so we are the ones. We are the ones who are sheep, harassed and helpless and in need of a shepherd, in need of his compassion. And that's what I want to focus on this morning from this passage. And of course, it is only when you know the compassion of Christ in your own life for your own soul and well-being that you are then actually equipped to minister to others around you and to direct them, not to yourself, not to your ministry and your advice, but your ministry is to direct others to this shepherd, to this one of infinite compassion who will always be there for them, even when you can't be. So let's consider then in this passage three elements of this great compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ that we need and that we need to direct others to in our ministry. And the first is the exercise of Christ's ministry of compassion. The exercise of his ministry. As I said, this is a summary of all that has been taking place throughout these two chapters. And now at this point, verse 35, he has gone throughout all the cities and villages in the area. And his motivation in all of this, his personal motivation, was that compassion for these people, as he puts it in verse 36. But notice how he exercised his compassion. He exercised his compassion in a number of ways in verse 35. First of all, he exercised his compassion through the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. Now that itself is an act of compassion. Because the only thing that will set people free is the word of truth. It is his word. And if we truly care for people and are going to minister to people, we must not set the word of God aside. And if we are going to know his compassion in our lives, we must be in the word. And so it is the word and the ministry of that is compassionate. But he also ministered that word in a compassionate way. This is hugely important. I have heard the word of God ministered in ways that sound more like someone trying to show off their academic intellect, to show off their knowledge, or the word ministered in a way that is more like a stand-up comedy routine than a real ministry of the word, or a ministry of the word that comes like a stick beating the sheep. When the word needs to be ministered, put it like this. Jesus did not come along and just be concerned about throwing the truth out there. What he was concerned about is ministering that word into people's hearts and lives. That's compassionate ministry of the word. A proclaiming of the gospel, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. You know, all we seem to get these days is bad news. The gospel is good news. And people need good news. And that's what Jesus gives to us. He gives us good news. We don't have to have a bleak outlook of a pessimistic future and a despairing present. But we have the good news that Jesus has given us, good news of the kingdom, of his grace, of his lordship to conquer my sin, to free me from wrath, to grant me a future and a hope, to change me, to grow me, And as the nations rage in rebellion against God, he sits in the heavens and laughs at their foolish and futile attempts. He is undisturbed because he is in control, putting all enemies under his feet. That's good news. And that's what we need. We need to know this good news from Jesus Christ. And then share that good news with others. But it was not only in ministry of the word he exercised a compassionate ministry. It was also in his works. Here, at the end of verse 35, he is healing every disease and every affliction. Now, throughout these chapters in Matthew 8 and 9, he heals all kinds of different people's needs and diseases. He controls the weather. He forgives a man. Nothing is beyond his power. That's the point we need to see here, that nothing is beyond his power. And so his exercise of compassion is not an exercise of compassion like we often know, where we sit there with someone and we desperately want to do something to relieve their affliction, but there's just nothing that we can do except sit there and sympathize with them. But Jesus' compassion is married to his almighty power. So his compassion overcomes sin and all of its effects. There's a number of reasons why Jesus healed people, not everybody, but many people, served as a sign of his deity, that he was truly God in the flesh. Some of them were designed to teach spiritual lessons. They identified him as the Messiah, according to Isaiah 53, gave credibility to the new revelation that he was bringing. But personally, in his own heart, what moved him to this powerful exercise of compassion was his own love, his own compassion and desire to relieve the suffering of people. Compassion is not just a feeling. Compassion moves to action, to relieve suffering, to forgive, to care for, to teach and minister the word, as we've seen. And isn't this where the writer of Hebrews directs us when we find ourselves in time of need? He directs us to a merciful, a faithful high priest who has compassion upon us, who sympathizes with us, and can give us mercy and grace to actually help in time of need. It is his exercise of compassion that we need to sustain us, that we need to direct others to, and that we want to see flowing through us as he uses us in his service. But secondly, notice in verse 36 an explanation of Christ's motive of compassion. An explanation of his motive of compassion. And that motive you see in verse 36, he sees the crowds. He has compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed. The term literally means to lacerate, to cut. They were beaten and they were bruised. In whatever ways, perhaps some of them actually physically had been beaten. There was a man in our church was the other day. Perhaps it's speaking spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. They are bruised and they are beaten. They are harassed on every side, one trouble after another in their lives. And they are helpless, helpless to really do anything about it. That's the condition. That's our condition in a fallen world. That's our condition in a world that is under the curse of sin. You know it. You feel it in a thousand different ways. We know what it is to be harassed and to be helpless. And what can we do? And Jesus looks at us in that weak condition. And what does that weak condition do? How does he feel when he sees that we are but dust? He is moved with compassion to minister to us, to help us. Jesus saw these people, and you know, as you read through these chapters, these people were, many of them were ignorant. A lot of them were following Jesus just for the free food that he sometimes produced. And a lot of them were ignorant, but Jesus didn't focus on their ignorance and feel superior to them and look down at them. He didn't focus on their faults and their sins, which they surely had, and feel condemning toward them. He didn't focus on their weaknesses and feel frustrated with them. He didn't focus on their heritage. These people should have known better. Should have known he really was the Messiah, the fulfillment of the old covenant. He didn't look at their heritage, and they should have known better and feel disgusted with them. He saw their ignorance, their sin, their weakness, their failure. And he focused on their need. And he was moved with compassion to meet that need, to care for them. Because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And here he is, the great shepherd. And so he gathers them together. God gave Israel leaders, Moses and then others under Moses, so that the people would not be like sheep without a shepherd. But Israel's leadership, kings, prophets, and priests had become unfaithful shepherds. If you look at Ezekiel 34, you see exactly what Jesus describes here. Harassed and helpless, sheep without a shepherd. Because their shepherds, the Pharisees and others, had not been faithful and compassionate. Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak, harassed and helpless, you have not strengthened. The sick, you have not healed. The injured, you have not bound up. The strayed, you have not brought back. The lost, you have not sought. And with force and harshness, harassment, you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Helpless and harassed as sheep without a shepherd. But verse 11. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. God himself would become the shepherd of his sheep. And here comes Jesus. And he sees the sheep scattered, harassed, and helpless. And in John, he says, I am. Takes the divine name upon himself. I am the good shepherd. Come to me. I will give you rest. Rest for your souls, because you are heavily burdened and harassed and you are helpless. And I will care for you. And it is his compassion, because he sees the condition of his people and he cares deeply for his people and he loves them. so that He will shepherd them. Jesus sees our condition as harassed and helpless and in need of a shepherd, one who will feed us and care for us and bind up our wounds, sustain us and gather us. And He does it. And so we like sheep, may have gone astray, but He has gathered us. And that's the compassion we need. Do you think of Jesus in that way? Do you think of Him shepherding? Do you think when His people gather together in worship, that it is the shepherd who has gathered His sheep, and He is going to shepherd us, and He is going to feed us, and He is going to minister His compassion to us? That's what we need, and that's what we need to direct God's people to. And that's how we need to care for them. It's so easy to get frustrated when sheep act like sheep. There are always challenges in church ministry. One recently, person just not doing as they ought. And another man in the church knew about the situation, and we were trying to work together to help this person, and I was getting very discouraged and disgusted with the whole situation. And this man in our church, he just sent me an email, and he said, "Sheep will be sheep. Let us be shepherds." I needed that shepherding in order to shepherd. You see? We need this shepherding from our Lord to shepherd others. Well, finally, the third element of this, the expansion of Christ's mission of compassion. He changes the metaphor in verse 37 from sheep and shepherd to harvest and laborers. It's really talking about the same thing. The shepherd gathers the sheep, so the laborers gather the wheat, gather the harvest. But here he expands it. Jesus does this, but then he calls his disciples in verse 37 and says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There are a lot of sheep out there that need to be gathered in, but the laborers to do it are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out more laborers into the harvest. It is the expansion of Christ's mission of compassion to the world around us. The harvest was one of the main feasts in Israel, the feast of ingathering. And the people needed to be gathered. Some of us must go out into the fields and help gather that harvest through the compassionate ministry of the gospel, as Jesus Himself did. But all of us must be praying to the Lord of the harvest, to the Good Shepherd, that He will send out laborers into the harvest. And so here you have Jesus' ministry of compassion, and it gathers His sheep together, and He cares for His sheep, but then He also sends out to the world to see more and more sheep, more and more of the grain gathered together in His flock, in His barn. This, in many ways, sets up the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel. For in chapter 10, He ordains the apostles and He sends them out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then after His death and resurrection, the redeeming work is done. He now sends His disciples out to make disciples of all the nations. And that's where we are. We're in that time of the Great Commission, and we are the harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. And there need to be more workers out into the harvest. But it's interesting, Jesus begins not by saying, you go out into that harvest, But he begins by saying, you pray to the Lord to send out laborers. And as you do that, he will send people and he may send you. But he will send you in answer to prayer out of concern for the harvest, out of that compassionate praying for his word to go forth to all the world. Here you have then Jesus's ministry of compassion. Here you have him, the shepherd, caring for his sheep out of compassion, his motive toward us. And then the mission of this compassionate proclamation of the word of the gospel going to all the nations. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, God promised this also in light of these unfaithful shepherds in Israel. He said this, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. Those are the ones we pray for. Those are the ones we seek to be if God calls us in whatever sphere of ministry we may be. May God then be faithful, the good shepherd be faithful with his under shepherds to bring his ministry of compassion in our lives as we minister and in the lives of others, and always point others to the only one who has unlimited, almighty compassion for them, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray.